Well, good morning, everybody. It's always a pleasure to be able to come and share God's word. But you know, when you, as I was speaking to George earlier before I came in, when you're sharing to people that study the word all the time, you really need to trust the Lord with what he has for you to share. I just want to share a verse in... we're going to look at the Old Testament, but before the Old Testament, we'll share a verse in 1 Corinthians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2, 10. And it says there, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before has ordained that we should walk in them." Now, you know, when you become a believer, you don't become a believer by doing good works. But as you understand, after becoming a believer, and you understand your walk with the Lord, you walk in those good works. And I've known over the years that, you know, people sometimes think, you know, that these good works are something that you've got to tick off or that you've got to look at. But, you know, over the years people have said, "I think the Lord's called me to be a missionary." And, you know, they go out into the field and it wasn't really what the Lord had them to do. So a year into the... and they come back worse than they went out, because it wasn't really what the Lord had for them. And as we grow in the Lord, we need to make decisions day by day with what the Lord has. I know a missionary couple that when they got married, and they were truly convicted that the Lord wanted them to be on the mission field, and they went on the mission field to the Philippines. They actually, straight from their marriage, they went there, and that's where they had their honeymoon. They had no lights, no house, no place to live, nothing. But you know what? It was where the Lord wanted them, and they're still there some 25 years later. And they've got now over 700 churches that have been built. But sometimes we say we go on with the Lord, and I can give you a story where I know this missionary who went to New Guinea, and he said there was this guy that was on fire for God. He wanted to do everything that God wanted him to do. And you know, he did that. Everything that God wanted him to do, he did. But you know what happened? One day he met this girl, and she wasn't a Christian. And this girl, he started thinking, well, you know, I'll get her to become a Christian. But you know, the Lord, when the Lord tells us things, that it's going to be best for us. We were talking about how he's our Heavenly Father. He knows best for everything. And sometimes we feel like we might know a little bit more than him. But it doesn't matter how zealous we are, God's word is still correct, not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. So anyway, what had happened was, when they were going out together for the first couple of months, she started going to church. Then they ended up getting engaged, and she's still going to church. And after they were going to church, they ended up then getting married. Now, he did get cancelled, and people told him he shouldn't be really getting married to this lady. Anyway, 2 years down the track after he was married, she stopped going to church. She was not interested in anything of the Lord. And this person felt it was so so distraught with his life that he didn't honour God, and he ended up committing suicide. So God wants us to rely on him day by day. And as we look to him, there's certain things that sometimes we don't have control over. What I just explained, this person did have control. But sometimes things happen to us that we don't have control. And I just want to have a look at, you know, our self-worth, because the world today is in such a mess, and the world system, if we look at that, you know, it's only, we are actually worth something because Christ loves us. If you're in the world and you don't know who Christ is, then there's two things. You know, when you become a believer, you know that because you believe, you're nothing without Christ. But if you don't know Christ, then you're nothing. But there's people out there that believe that they're everything because of what they own, because of their stature at work or their status or whatever it might be. But I'll just go through a couple of verses in Luke before we go to the main passage. In Luke 12, 6 and 7. He says, are not five sparrows sold for two pennies? Yet not one of them are forgotten by God. Now, sparrows are probably not even worth two pennies now. Because who buys sparrows? Nobody. But the Lord looks after them. And they're the most minuscule things, but he's saying that he cares for those small things. How much more does he care for us? And then he says, indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. And the Lord wants us to believe that the Lord has got us in mind day by day, even if we don't feel like it. And the Lord wants us to be encouraged to trust him in everything. And this is what I'm going to be bringing out. So let's look at Luke 12, 13 to 15. And some people have shared today about heaven and about hell, but Luke 12, Luke 12, verse 4 and 5. And he says here, I tell you, my friends, and he is speaking as to his friends, be not afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he is killed has the power of the authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Now, you know, those killings that went on in Bondi, the people that died, they did not know that that was going to happen. And if they knew the Lord, they would have went straight to be with the Lord. But if they didn't, they're not at a good place right now. And verse 15, he says to them, then he said to them, watch out, beware of covetousness, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And the Lord wants us to realise that we're really nothing of ourselves and nothing in what we own, but the Lord wants us to trust him in everything. But you know, there's people today My sister was telling me that she knows this family who's got twins. These twins were 54 years old. They both got families. And their parents were really well off. And the parent says, look, instead of when we die to give you our possessions, we're going to give you everything now so that you can set up your life and have whatever it is you want before we die, and we can rejoice together type of thing, be happy together. They're not Christians, by the way. And they just built these two properties, massive, I don't know, $5 million properties in front of the beach, in front of, you know, Waterview properties. And then they just finished those properties. And then they found out that one of the twin sisters got cancer. And, you know, nothing, no money can change that. And she passed away. And something that was supposed to be very happy and joyous is now very sad. And the Lord doesn't want us to be caught up in those sins. And in the world today, it's very easy to do that. And I'll just bring out something in Luke 12, verse 16 and 19. He went to tell him this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. He said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, build bigger ones, and there I'll store my surplus again. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. And how many people think like that today? You know, how many people think like that today? But you know, God's plans are different to ours. In Matthew 6:34, it says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. You know, in our culture today, we have calendars that we fill out, you know, for the next year. We fill out stuff for the next year. It's not an easy thing to trust the Lord in everything. But we know what the Lord wants us to do. And in verse 20, he says, but God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And you know, people fight. I've spoken to solicitors and they say, families, I've even spoken to families who are very, very close. They've been together for many, many years. The parents die, and all of a sudden, everybody's fighting because everybody wants more than that other person. And here it says, who's going to get what, you know, what you prepared for yourself? You're not going to have it. And then it says this, this is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves, but or is not rich towards God. It doesn't mean that you can't have things. But if you're not rich towards God, that's what it matters, when it matters. We need to be rich towards God. All those other things are secondary. It's a blessing from the Lord that what he provides. So our attitude towards material possessions is basically a good indicator of our spiritual depth. And now, does that mean because you're a Christian, you can't make money? You can't earn money? No, it's to do with our attitude. And I think I've shared this before, but it's really a good story because I don't know who was here or who isn't. Has anyone heard of a person called Robert Gilmore Letourneau? Or I can't say his name that well. Letourneau? Something like that. But basically, from a humble beginning, only in seventh grade, he's only had seventh grade education. He taught himself engineering and eventually built a manufacturing empire. His sister, who was a Christian missionary, led him to the Lord. And at first, he was making so much money that he was giving God 10% of all his wealth. And then he made a decision to make God his business partner. And he said, the question is not how much of my money should I give God, but rather how much of God's money should I keep? And should I keep myself? So he started earning so much money that he ended up giving God 90%. And kept 10% for himself. And he still had too much to spend. When you put God first, is what we need to know. In Matthew 16:26, it says, what good would it be for someone to gain the whole world and forfeit their own soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? And you know, the TV has lately been publishing all these people who, more and more people are becoming billionaires. They're becoming billionaires, but God is the furthest thing from their mind. And it's a sad, sad thing. And then I'm going to bring out some things here, but then when we talk about the other story, when we get into it, I want to contrast it with that. Luke 12:22-27. And Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat, or about your body, what you will wear. But you know, I'm just thinking that he's saying this there now. And back then they had no TV, they had no YouTube, they had nothing that had ads coming up every 5 minutes. But today, you know, this is the latest trend. This is the latest this. This is the latest that. We've got to keep up with it. Right? So we're being governed by the world system. But he says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're not going to eat. It says, for life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you worrying can add one cubit or stature to a single moment of your life? You know, just if you worry about your life, you can't add to it. And God is telling us this. And do we live like that? Verse 26, since you cannot do this very thing, why do you worry or anxious about the rest? Consider how the lilies or wildflowers grow. They do not labour or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. So God is telling us not to worry. Verse 28, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which are here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek or set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the nations of the pagan world seeks after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. You know, this is what the pagans look for. This is what they think about. What are we going to eat? How are we going to store what we have? How are we going to do this? The Lord is telling us not to do that. But then he says, verse 31, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be added or given to you as well. That's the Lord's message. Seek his kingdom first, and everything else will be added to you. And I know as we're growing up and we're at school, we're thinking about what are we going to do for work. When we're at work, what are we going to do for a promotion? When we get promoted, what are we going to do for retirement? We're always thinking about what we're going to do next, right? And But the Lord said, seek his kingdom and all these things will be added to you as well. Do not fear or be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. See, our sights should be where we're going, according to God. And then it says, he goes on to say, sell your possessions and give them to the poor. Provide yourselves with money bags that will not grow old and wear out. Treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thieves come in near or no moths destroy. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And you know, this man that was given God 90% of everything, he was saving up all that money in the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven. He was trusting the Lord. Look, that was the intro before we go into the passage. So I'll just open up in a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time that we can have together. I just pray that you will just undertake for the sharing of your word. And we just pray that you will just encourage us with what you'd have us to see as we look into your word, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you come, Lord, your word comes through and not my thoughts about your word. And we just pray that you will speak to, Lord, who needs speaking to, and I'm sure that I do as well, Lord. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Now, what do you think that God can do with nothing? You just finished saying, you know, just sell everything you got. It's not an easy thing to do. Sell everything you got and give it to the poor. Don't worry about tomorrow. God's going to look after you. He's going to give you all the clothes you need. He's going to give you all the food you need. Don't worry about that. See, we don't live in a society where that can happen. Really. We've got to get up and go to work. Right? So, as we look into these verses, if you feel a little bit overwhelmed in your life and things that might, you know, because things, even though we're Christians, things get us down. You know, they shouldn't, but they do. Okay? We say, listen, we've never got enough time. Right? We've never got enough time. Can you do this? No, I'm too busy. Can you do that? No, I'm too busy. We've never got enough time. Maybe we're a bit down in our faith. That we feel like the Lord's not answering our prayers. We're praying for things and the Lord's not answering those prayers. So we're struggling. We're struggling to get by week by week. So as we look into his word, we just pray that the Lord will just help us. So in our text, we're going to start with one verse to set the context in the story. And then we'll go on as we go. And the text is in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. And here we have this story, and it says this in verse 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So we have this situation where this man, who was the son of a prophet, who feared the Lord, so he was a believer, he had a wife and two sons, and he also had debt. And he used his two sons as collateral for that debt. Meaning that if he didn't pay the debt, his sons would be taken as slaves until the debt was paid. And now he's dead. Do you think that your problems are bigger than that? It's a big problem. Because his wife, back then, it's not like the women could just go out and get a job. You know, she couldn't just go out and open up a YouTube channel. She couldn't do what people try and do today. And he's dead. But here's what I want to share, a couple of things first about the husband and the father of these people. Do you think that this man was negligent about leaving his wife and sons in this situation? Because it says that he followed the Lord. He was a servant of the Lord. He was a believer. Right? Remember that we just looked at, indeed, the very hairs on your head are numbered. He would have believed that. He would have believed, don't be afraid, you're worth more than many sparrows. Going forward, he would have believed that. Even though it was in the New Testament. But it says, I'll show you whom to fear. Fear him that has able to kill the body and has authority to throw you into hell. Fear him. And you know what? He would have feared the Lord. He was doing the Lord's work and he was trusting the Lord. Now, sometimes things are beyond our control. Then he said to them, and this is another one, he says to the the other thing we looked at, is Jesus said to them, watch out, beware of covetousness, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, life that does not consist of an abundance in possessions. So he was doing that. Did he tear down his barns and build bigger ones to get... No, he wasn't doing that either. Did he believe the Lord when it says, don't worry about tomorrow? He did. He wasn't worried about tomorrow. You know, with us, it's a lot different. We've got life insurance. We've got car insurance. We've got workers' comp. We've got, you name it, we've got every insurance that... You know, it's not really life insurance, it's death insurance, because you don't get it till you're dead. But, you know something, we've got all these insurances. Back then, they had none of this. Really, the only thing you could do is trust the Lord. So, he knew not to worry about tomorrow. He didn't store anything, but he didn't store anything up for himself, but he was rich towards God. Right? Did he believe about trying to gain the whole world? No. Therefore, he didn't worry about his life, what he needs to eat, or about his body, what he had to wear, because he knew that even worrying about one thing could not add to his life. Could not add to his life. That's what we were just looking at before. Why worry? It's not going to add... But it says, seek the kingdom of God and these things will be added to you. For where your treasure is, your heart will be there. He trusted the Lord in all these things. Yet now his family is finding themselves in this situation. So going back to the widow, she now has a big problem. The first thing that we're told is that she went to a master, the prophet. You know, that's encouraging because it must have meant that they're a godly family. Most people today, if you've got a financial problem, you'll go visit your banker. You'll go visit someone who understands about finances. And she didn't. She went to the prophet. And you know, that's something that we need to teach our kids. When you've got a problem, don't go to the school counsellor. Don't go to the school advisor. Don't go, you know, I remember one of our Christian friends, their daughter wasn't a Christian, she was only 16, and she was having problems with the parents because she was going against them. So she went to the school counsellor. The school counsellor said, listen, we'll help you. You don't have to live with your family. You're 16, you can now leave them. And they have to still pay for your school and everything else. And you can do whatever you want. That's the advice that the world gives. Right? So this lady did the right thing. She went to the prophet, not some financial guy or some relative world. And you know, Elijah said to her, "What shall I do for you? You know, tell me what you have in the house." And she responded and said, "Your servant has nothing in the house at all." But then she said, she thought, "Hang on, I have a small jar of oil." So here we've got a widow. She could be in the mid-30s or 40s. We don't know exactly, but she's lost her husband. And like we said, in this culture, there's no real opportunity for employment. But she's got a big problem. These creditors are going to come and take her children. It's not just that she's got no money and she's got to figure out where the money's coming from to eat and to live. But the urgency is that the creditors are going to come and take her children. So she's basically at rock bottom. You know, for most of us, problems aren't that bad for us. But we get so angry and upset over little things. You know, our internet is too slow. You know, our internet is so slow today, I can't believe it. Can't do nothing. You know? We get upset. Someone driving in front of us, they're so slow. I can't go around them. I can't get in front of them. We get so angry. You know, and I've learned to just let it go. To just not get angry. Allow the small things to upset you. Maybe we've got financial issues or health issues. Who do we go to? So she's crying out, expressing her problems to this man of God. What does she need to do? Here's what he doesn't do. He doesn't say, "Well, look, sorry to hear that. That's a really bad problem that you've got, but you're on your own." What he does say is, "How can I help you?" And you know, sometimes God has put us as Christian people in a position where we can help others as well. Right? It doesn't mean you have to fork out money or do this, but in a way that you can help them. Five simple words that can change somebody's life. When somebody's hurting or suffering and in need, you know, we can do exactly what Elijah does to help people. You know, I remember I was in sales. I used to be working in the sales in a store. And they used to always tell us, they used to say, when someone walks into your store, don't ever say, "Can I help you?" Because the first thing they say, they think you're trying to sell to them. They go, "No thanks, just looking." So they don't want to talk to you. So you say to them, "Good afternoon, good morning, how are you? What brings you in the store today?" Well, then that's a question that they've got to answer, isn't it? And then they tell you, and then you can help them with that problem. But here, the prophet already knew her problem. He didn't have to say, "What is your problem?" Instead of giving her an answer, instead of saying, "Here's how to fix your problem," he just says, "How can I help you?" Because she needs to now start to take responsibility for herself. And if you want to make a difference really in the world, and you want to be filled with the joy of God, it's how can we help someone as well in our lives? Asking the Lord, "Lord, where am I able to help people, where we can help?" You know, yesterday I was at the doctor's, and it's very hard to get to see a in a doctor these days because they're just so busy and no one, you can't get in. It doesn't matter how bad it is, you just can't get in. But you know, I spoke to him, I saw him yesterday, and really you can't talk to them very much. But yesterday, I knew he went on holidays, he just got back. I said, "How'd you go on your holidays?" "Pretty good." He goes, "Oh no, not that good." He went to Malaysia. I says, "What'd you do in Malaysia?" He goes, "Hey, you know, they had all these festivals, these traditional festivals. And he's Malaysian. I says, oh yeah. And I says to him, you believe all that stuff? And he says, you know, it's tradition. And I says, well, what background do you have? He says, well, you wouldn't believe it. He goes, but I'm a Roman Catholic. He goes, I was brought up a Roman Catholic. I said, so what are you going to Malaysia? He says, it took him 2 days to get there, missed out on all these things. He was hanging around doing nothing. And then he just came back. And I says, that was a bit of a waste. And he goes, yeah, right. And I says, what do you believe? And he says, what do you mean? I says, do you believe in a God? I says, because you know, in India, they've got millions of gods. China, they either have no gods or they have some sort of mind-made God. I go, do you believe in a God? He goes, I never thought about it. I says, you know, I think you should think about it. I says, you should think about it because God gave you a mind. And God, you're a doctor. I says, God gave you a mind and you should be able to think, where did I come from? And I says, I was brought up a Roman Catholic. But you know what? I says, I was brought up a Roman Catholic, but I says, God said to me, with all these religions in the world, how are you going to know which one's right? And I says, you know, you've studied to be a doctor, and if someone comes up on YouTube and says this about a certain thing, you're going to know that's a lie because you're a doctor and you've been trained in that area. I said, but if you get a Jehovah's Witness knocking on your door or a Mormon and you say, oh, well, look, I'm a Catholic, you can't say anything because you don't know. I says, you need to understand that there's only one truth, and that truth is the Bible. Many people have tried to knock that Bible down. Many people have tried to knock it, but you know, after they read it, many of them come to know who Christ is. I says, it's not about a religion, it's about a person. And Jesus wants you to know him. And I thought he was going to say, okay, yeah, I'm really busy, you better go, thanks, see you later. But you know, no, he didn't. He listened through the whole time. And that was the first opportunity I ever had to talk to that person. So just pray that the Lord will do something there or that I might have further opportunity. But this is what the Lord, you know, sometimes people might come up to you and say, look, my husband is driving me crazy. My kids are doing this. My kids are doing that. If we can help someone, how can we help? How can we help you? Maybe when you say we can pray for you, maybe you can say, you know, give them some advice that you've had before. Help you. You know, they might have a split migraine or something, anything, but the Lord wants us to help one another. So the prophet then says to her this thing. He says to her, what do you have in your house? And, you know, he's respecting her because he's not saying, well, there's nothing you can do, I'm sorry, or whatever. And sometimes, you know, people want some physical, something tangible they can do. And this is what he said. So she says, I haven't got anything at all. But then, you know, when you're hurting, when you've got problems, you never think about what you have. You always think about what you don't have. You know, that's why the Lord says, or not the Lord, the songwriter wrote, count your blessings, count them one by one. Then it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Because, you know, if we keep thinking about what we don't have, we're going to keep wanting what we don't have. But here, she says, I don't have anything. But then she thought about it, and she says, yes, I have got something. And you know, sometimes we say to ourselves, we're pretty well off compared to a lot of people in the world. And we say, we've got nothing. That's what we say, we've got nothing. You know, we're depressed, we feel down, we're in a hole, we're spiritually beat, we're tired, we're worn out. It's so easy to say, we don't have anything, right? We say, I don't have what I need. I can't do this. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have any talent. I don't have any patience. I can't do it. I don't have the right spouse. I don't have a spouse. I don't have the right job. I don't have all these things. But we're always thinking of the negative things. And the Lord, this prophet is saying, what do you have? What do you have? So life doesn't matter, because life, it's the Lord who's going to look after you. The Lord. So did the Lord know that her husband was going to die? Yes. And she went to the prophet. And you know, when things go wrong, people start saying, I just don't care anymore. I don't care. But this poor woman, she has nothing, and that's her question. So he says to her about her house that she's got a jar of oil. That's all I have. And then you might say, what's a jar of oil going to do? What's a jar of oil going to do? Now, I remember a doctor told me, he says, this lady came into my office. Well, she could hardly fit into the office. She was so big. And she says, look, I'll go here and I'll go there. They told me I've got to exercise. How can I exercise? I can't even get up. And, you know, he said to her, you know, have you got a coffee table at home? She says, yes. She goes, can you walk around that coffee table a couple of times a day? She goes, I'll try it. Anyway, she did that. He goes, when you start doing that, after a few weeks and you're feeling a bit better, you go around your table in the kitchen, your kitchen table, a bit. When you're feeling a bit better, see how you go. Anyway, she started doing this, and pretty soon she was walking around the block with her daughter. And after that, she was going shopping with her daughter. Right? Don't look at what you don't have. Look at what you got and start with that. Okay? I remember that when I left my job, I've spoken to you about it before, but you know, the only thing I had no education. To be honest, I've still got no education. Right? But I trusted the Lord and I said, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do. I've got debts. I don't know how you want me to survive. I've got a mortgage. And I trusted the Lord to leave my business because I was selling cigarettes at the time. And I believe that's not what the Lord had had me to do. And, you know, I went in for an interview. The interview was the worst interview anyone could have ever had. But you know what? The Lord was in control. And when I left that interview, I thought, man, there's no way I'm going to get that job. It was so bad. You know? Didn't go with the tie. It was just everything went wrong, right? Then I left. I got a phone call saying they want you to start on Monday. You know what? All I had was that I could breathe. I could walk. I could talk. And the Lord just wants you to start with what you've got. Don't look. You know, don't go out and get another degree or get this or get. Just trust the Lord. So it doesn't happen all the time straight away, but the Lord knows where you're at. And so back then, oil had a lot of uses. They used to use it for cooking. They used it in their light. You know, the light, shine light around. They used to use it as moisturiser. They had a lot of functions for the oil. And they used to use it at worship service, for anointing. They all had a lot of uses. So the prophet says, listen, I want you to go to all your neighbours and ask them for all these empty canisters. As many as you can, just take them all. And when you get them, go in your room and shut the door, and I want you to start pouring this oil out. And that's what was happening. She was pouring this oil out. And she kept saying, quick, give me the next one. We got none left. But you know, the thing is, what she had to do, if you just lost your husband, and your neighbours are thinking, what's she going to do? And she's going around knocking on everybody's door. By faith, she had to do it. By faith. And she could have thought, well, I'm not going to go knocking on everyone's door asking them for empty containers. You know? But sometimes you have to do something that you can do. And trust the Lord in everything else. And God can help us. You know, there's a couple of verses in the scriptures, you know, that God can do wonderful things with nothing. Remember when Jesus just fed, he just spoke to all these people, thousands of people, right? He just spoke to them, and all of a sudden the disciples saying, hey, what are we going to eat? We're out in the desert, there's nothing. And this little kid says, you know, but I've got these couple of fish and whatever. But in God's hands, what happened, that they fed everybody and they had fish left over and bread left over. God can do wonderful things. In the Old Testament, you know, we have the story of Goliath. You know, Goliath, he was calling out the Israelites and saying that we want to take over, we want to do this, we want someone to fight. And, you know, people were scared of Goliath because he was so big. And then David came along and says, well, you're so big, I don't think I can miss. You know? So what did he do? He shot him in the head with a rock. What can God do with the little that you have? The little that you have. And the Lord wants us to trust him in all these different things. There's a lot of examples that we could go through. But all I just want to bring out is, don't let the little things get you down. Don't let the little, because we don't trust the Lord when that happens. The Lord lets us get away with it, because he doesn't come down and say, bang, you know, you've done that wrong. So the Lord wants us to apply what we just heard here. The little that you have, don't be discouraged. The Lord is in control. He knows what's going on, and he's going to help you get through. But, you know, there's a verse in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4:7, tells us, does someone want to read that?
But we have special revelation, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves.
Yeah. So we are empty vessels. We are empty vessels. And we have the Spirit of God. And the Lord wants us to empty ourselves of pride, of ourselves, all those things that stop God from working in our lives. We keep thinking what we want. We need to thank God for what we have and start with that. And the Lord will help us. And, you know, we should realise as Christians, and I'll finish here soon, in John, verse 15, 4 and 5, it talks about that there's nothing we can do without God. You know, we feel like if we're exceeding in our work, that we're really good. We pat ourselves on the back and say, look how good you are. You know, you learn some new skill. Wow, how good is that? You know, it says here, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit, much fruit. For without me, you can't do nothing. Without Christ, we can't do anything. Now, here's a contrast in Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was Paul. That's the opposite. Through all things. Philippians 2:13. It is good. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And Ephesians 4:22-24. It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new the attitudes of your minds, and put on the new self created to be like God in the righteousness and holiness of God. You know, I was speaking about missionaries. I don't know if you probably know the guy, he's passed on now. His name was Bob Bagley. You ever know Bob Bagley, no? Well, he was in the Philippines as well. And this is how much that the Lord is in control of our lives. He was leading these group of tribal people, and he was in the front, and he had a machete chopping down all these trees in front of him, right? And the guy behind him, he didn't know this till later. When that guy became a Christian behind him, because they used to witness to them all the time, he said, do you know how many times I wanted to just chop your head off? Because I didn't want you to share this gospel with the people. Right? And he was in the front because I wanted to do it so many times, but I couldn't. He said something like, stop me. Each time I could not do it. Because God's angels are watching that. If it's not his time, God won't allow it to happen. Now that guy was totally unaware of what was going on, that these people wanted him dead. But they couldn't kill him. So that's how much God has us in his hand. That God loves us so much that as we trust him, that's how we learn to walk with him. Not worry about tomorrow. Not worry about the next day. Not worry about what we do or don't do. But the Lord, he's given us his mercy. And we are to be the light of the gospel. And, you know, that missionary who was in these foreign field with these tribal people, they were headhunters. There was no problem for them to kill him. But, you know, after he became a Christian, he said, you know, I just wanted to kill you so many times. But something was stopping me. Now that I'm a Christian, I know what it is. The Lord. And it was news to him, but he was able to share it as a testimony. I'll just finish off with this verse in Isaiah 61:1-3. Now we know it's speaking, it's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. It's Isaiah speaking about the Lord, with the Lord. But it's really us as well. Isaiah 61:1-3. It says, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to them that are bound. And you know, that means whether they're non-believers who need to break free from their sinful natures through Christ, or whether they're a believer who is having difficulties with their spiritual walk, to make people free. Because you know why? The truth will set them free. The truth. It's not us. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And you know, God is coming back and he's vengeful for all those who don't believe in him. There's going to be a day of reckoning. that people need to know. That's why when the Lord led me to speak to the doctor even yesterday, we need to take every opportunity we can to share with them. Verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. You know, beauty for ashes. They think that what they have is ashes, but they can have beauty. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Through all these things, you know, when you look back, you can share your testimony, the Lord will be glorified through what he's done in your life, if you allow him to do it. Loving Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to again thank you for your word. Thank you for the way you've undertaken for people that I know, even myself, Lord. Just pray, dear Lord, that you might undertake with people having problems here or people that people here know about, Lord. So I just want to commit this time to you. I want to thank you. Thank you for your word. And thank you that we can still freely share your word in Australia today. In Jesus' name, amen.